The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. A chilly Monday here following the Thanksgiving weekend. Sorry for my voice. I got sick. My son is the patient zero of the Los Angeles area. I think he got Cousin Sal sick. Cousin Sal doesn't even know yet because he was here at my house yesterday. He won't be sick till tomorrow, but you will be sick, Cousin Sal. How are you?
I look forward to it. I got over under 102.7 for my nightly temperature reading tonight.
So. Good for you. I should mention you're on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Cousin Sal, big day for us yesterday. Not only did my Patriots win, not only did your Cowboys win 3 days ago, but we won a three-team tease. I couldn't be prouder.
I warned everyone. I tweeted it out. I said, listen, I'm telling you right now, Sports Guy and I have the Steelers just as a pick 'em. So we're either going to lose or it's going to be close. Jump all over the Chiefs. And we pulled it out.
We took the Jets, Falcons, and Steelers. Three-team 10-point tees. And, of course, the Jets made us totally sweat it out because it totally made sense that the Bills could go in there and suddenly look good on offense with 19 starters missing. And then it comes down to Tyler Palco, who, out of all the bad quarterbacks we saw yesterday, was probably the number one worst, somehow keeping the Chiefs in that game. I was stunned watching it. Do you think less of the Steelers after that game?
I think, you know what, maybe you just, you know, like in baseball, teams just fall apart for some games and they don't get up for some games. It must be tough to get up for the Kansas City Chiefs, especially when you have, like, Cincinnati at home on the schedule following week for the Steelers. But yes, I do. I think a little less of them. I think they should go back to running the ball, and they should be able to move the ball. They should score 20 on the Chiefs, right?
Right.
I get where any of this is coming from. So
we did see some trap games yesterday, which was pretty interesting. And it, really interesting was that Green Bay did not have a trap game. They just beat the crap out of Detroit. But
they just take care of business. There were a lot of screwy covers yesterday. I thought, like,
yep.
You know, Atlanta got lucky. We loved it that Minnesota was going on fourth down when they needed 10 points and went on fourth down for three. And the Panthers was lucky interception in the end zone over Indy. And
they covered that.
Tampa, that didn't seem like that should have covered. But yeah,
Tennessee should not have covered. Since he had the trap game with the Browns that they ended up winning by three, that they could have ended up with the push. Mm-hmm. The Jets were up 7 with the ball. And then somehow almost blew that game. That was pretty interesting. Raiders won by 5. That actually could have been a non-cover too. And then the Redskins.
It started at 5. I think it opened at 5 this week. So if you could have gotten lucky and had it there. Yeah.
And then, you know, Broncos, Chargers. The Chargers just, I don't know what happened to that team offensively, but, I mean, think about this. 3 months ago, we thought it was a good idea to bet Phil Rivers to win the MVP.
Oh, yeah.
You could argue he's not – he might not be one of the best 15 quarterbacks in the league right now.
He's probably not the best quarterback on that team. And, but I don't think it helps. And every week we see a coach just kill their field goal kicker, just run it in and set him up for a 47, 48, 49-yard field goal. But Norv – I think he took that. North Turner took it to a different level. He was setting his field goal kicker up for a 55-yarder.
Like, yeah.
How could you be happy with this, with the game on the line? It just, everybody knows it's going to miss. My God.
The Mike Tolbert run call was one of the worst ever. Yeah, they probably should have punted there.
Punt or throw a screen. Mix in a screen
anything.
To Gates over the middle. You're not going to get picked. He's so big, he's going to either knock it down or catch it. So. Get him in the low 40s, your field goal kicker at least. But, yeah, Rivers is bad. And I can't believe that Darren Sproles meant everything to this offense, but it's sort of looking like it did.
Well, we watched the first half of that game, and then you had to go.
Yeah.
You were laughing at Jacoby and I for for her love of Tebow. And it's got to the point with Tebow where as long as he's within two touchdowns, I just think they're going to win coming down the stretch. So you missed how we were reacting. It does seem like there is something about this whole thing where it does feel like something's just going to go wrong for the other team. Like when they lined up for that 53-yard field goal, I was like, we were like, no way, Tebow's going to make this one miss. Like we do feel like he started to have mystical powers.
Yeah.
You're not buying it?
No, well, I am buying it, and that's why I left early. I told you I had to watch the kids or some crap, but this is too close, and I'm not going to be around for this nonsense celebration by these goofballs. But forget about the deal that Tebow made with God, but what about the deal that he made with his defense? Like, all right, I'll give you 10 or 13 points
every week.
The first 58 minutes of the game. Is that cool? Will we still be in it? And I think if you made that deal with 28 of the other 31 NFL teams, it wouldn't be good enough, or 30 of them. I don't know. I don't know how this keeps working out for him, but you guys love it. You love nothing more than watching him.
I love it. It's just one of the stupidest things I've ever watched week to week in sports, and I can't get enough of it. I think it's great. I'm going to throw this at you, though.
Yeah.
So one thing with Tebow is he doesn't turn the ball over. They never, ever turn the ball over with him. Like yesterday, they played almost five quarters, no turnovers by him.
He doesn't pass. How is he going to turn it over? A nun going to get a venereal disease? He doesn't ever pass. What are you talking about?
Those are semantics. He doesn't turn the ball over.
God.
This year, he has one interception and two fumbles for the entire year. So you have Tim Tebow as your QB. You know that your offense is going to take care of the ball, and they're going to control the ball. They're going to have these long drives. They're going to wear teams down. Now, you're the other team, and you're saying to yourself, we're not going to get any help from those guys. We got to do it. You have this immense pressure on you now that because you know it's not like a Mark Sanchez thing where you know you're going to get three picks from Sanchez or whatever he's going to do. So maybe there's some method to this madness. They control the ball. They don't make mistakes. They put everything in the hands of their really good defense, and they just kind of wait for the other team to screw up. Like, it does kind of make sense when you look at it that way.
But I think his passes are bad. Like, I don't even think it's one thing. His passes are just bad in the beginning of the game. It's like his receivers are getting scared that they're throwing to him. They're like, what is this coming at me? Is this a challenge flag, or is this the ball? Am I actually going to receive a pass here? Like, I just don't get, like, how bad he is at the beginning of the game. Like, I'm trying to, like, think of, like, let's say you went to, like, order a meal and the steak was overcooked and you went to a restaurant and the waiter spilled wine on your wife and, you know, they they charged you for, like, a corking fee and, you know, and then it was just a miserable experience. But then, like, they bring the creme brulee and it's out of this world. Like, would you go back to that restaurant for the creme brulee? No. You'd walk out the first time she spilled wine on your wife, whatever. That would be
I would say Tebow is like a restaurant where the service is terrible for the first 45 minutes, but then when they bring out the entree, it's just awesome. And you're like, wow, you know, I'll put up with all the other stuff, but I will never have venison like that again. That's Tim Tebow.
The entree comes about, a third of the way into the meal, right? I think Tebow shows up 58 minutes in. I don't know.
Sal, you just have to accept the fact that it's all part of his master plan. He establishes a level of below average play with, he has the mission in mind in the fourth quarter. Now he's going to turn on the switch and the other team goes, oh my God, Tebow's heating up. Uh-oh. Oh, we're in trouble now. Hey, everything, the first three quarters set up the last quarter for Tebow.
All right. I guess so. I mean, it certainly helps that you're in a division where the team that's going to win the division is going to do it basically on having a great kicker and a great punter. So I guess it all makes sense.
Do you think they should have Kate Smith re-record God Bless America, even though she's dead, and call it Tebow Bless America?
Why not? Yeah. I'm starting to think something's weird about it. I really am. And I think I'm starting to get sick, too. You were right, just at the beginning of this phone call.
Do you think that if God did put a quarterback on the earth to try to change mankind, the situation that would unfold is a little like what we're watching now, right?
Yeah, it is. It sort of is. I because here's the thing. I have to pick a side. I have to say, if he stinks so bad, then something is happening at the end. There's some divine intervention. So I am starting to believe in this God. But I wish
I got an email.
Wishing
I got an email
from spiral. yeah.
Well, I got an email from somebody, like, if this were a movie and they were putting somebody on to actually change the way we think about humanity, you would, God would pick a quarterback because that's our most popular sport. And he right. would give this guy mystical football powers, and then eventually all of us would just fall behind him, and now he would become the leader of the free world.
Yeah. There's a little Trading Places in there, too.
By the way, I don't actually believe any of this stuff. I'm just enjoying the Tim Tebow era. It is the single most inexplicable thing I've ever watched week to week. And the weird part is that you actually do have confidence that it's going to somehow work out for him. I can't remember following another athlete with less talent who I feel like it's just going to work out week to week. It's unbelievable. It's like watching.
Yeah, we would have changed that game if it was.
Hell yeah, 10-0, it's over.
We took Ponder off the air. Like we, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to happen for him, even though he threw a bomb at the end. But I'm believing the God thing. I really am.
It's like watching somebody cross a highway.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get hit by a car. And you're like, how did that happen? How did he not get hit by a car? Everybody was going 70 miles an hour. So then the next Sunday he does it again. You're like, how did that happen? How did he not get hit by any of the cars? And then by the fifth week, you're like, watch this. This guy's going to go across the highway and he's not going to get by a car.
Yeah,
that's how I feel watching Tebow. It makes no sense.
He's lucky I'm not on the road because I would hit him. Can't take it.
He's one of the least accurate quarterbacks I've ever watched. He's in the top five. We were watching that one Eddie Royal pass when Eddie Royal was wide open and Tebow's throwing it to him. And Eddie Royal was like, he was dancing on his feet, almost like the way you would if somebody was throwing you a baby and you didn't know where the baby was going to fall and you had to just go run. He had no confidence at all the ball was coming on a straight line to him.
Yeah.
And yet they're 5-1.
It's the pool, the billiards equivalent of a hustle, right? Like, I'm going to play as poorly as I can, without turning the ball over, I suppose. And then I'm going to come back and beat you and take all your money.
Well, you do believe. I mean, you do believe in sports. Like,
I don't.
If there's a good chemistry thing going, sometimes that can solve a lot of the issues a team might have. And it does seem like, for whatever reason, the Broncos believe in this guy. And I don't understand it, but it does seem like they play hard for him, and they believe that if they can keep it close, he's going to win the game.
No, I agree with the chemistry, like with the clubhouse chemistry part of it, and being so inspiring and everything, but. Don't you have to develop a chemistry within the game? Like, don't you have to complete three passes in the first three quarters before you can go on some kind of crazy, run at the end? That's what I don't understand.
It makes no sense at all, and I love it, and I can't wait until next week. They play, who do they play next week?
They're at Minnesota. So.
Oh, yeah. That's
we'll
a nice
get to that in
them.
A second, but you did leave me a voicemail that I should.
I did?
Yeah, you did it again. Well, you're crazy about this guy. There was a lot went on for you this week. Hold on one second. I'll play it for you.
Cousin Sal, sports guy here. I woke up the other day to find out the NBA lockout was over. I told you. I told everyone it would be. And I tell you, I must have done something great in the previous life because I'm the luckiest man on the face of the earth can now die in peace, edition 2. In fact, that's the title of my next book. I already wrote it. It's only 47,000 pages with one picture. That being of me, Patrick Swayze, and Pearl Jam dining out of Benihana in 1982. Anyhow, my boyfriend Tim Tootsie Roll Pop Toes Tebow did it again. Leads his team to another victory. This time he actually moved his arm in a forward direction, making the ball fly through the air until eventually puttered out and bounced 17 yards before his intended receiver. Oh, it was a thing of beauty, unlike anything these eyes have ever seen since the great Pedro Martinez kicked an elderly bald man in a Yankee uniform, stomped him to death on the field.
Loved it.
I tell you, the whole thing makes me want to sing a Rupert Holmes classic called Him. I'm going to change it around a little bit. Tim, 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 what you going to do about Tim? She's going to have to live without Tim. It's Tim or it's me. Me. What? Oh, wait a minute. It's an angry mob of Black Friday shoppers. They hate my singing. They're going to run me over. Help! Sports guy out!
I like how I get attacked every week at the end of these now.
and you're at home, too. You think you lock the doors and run over by trains or mob of shoppers.
Well, people did get carried away with Black Friday this year.
Yeah, they did.
Well, it's been great, and I'm so happy to have a new man after Josh Freeman just crapped the bed this year. Fortunately, Tebow came out of nowhere. Dropped from the earth, almost.
You're fair weather, but it worked out, yeah.
So one more thing we should mention before we get to week 13.
Oh, is it about Tim Tebow?
No. The Texans are screwed. I mean, it's really, I don't know what they're going to do. Like, you figure they're, you know, that Peter King dropped the Favre bomb yesterday and Harrison and Dungy just started yelling in horror. But,
let me ask you this. I hate the idea of Favre coming back, but I don't know about some of these names. We're getting really, really down to, wow, these guys played Division 4A. Like, I don't know what's going on with, at some point, 3-4 injuries from now, we're going to have to consider Brett Favre, right?
Weren't you stunned by how bad the names were?
Yeah.
Like, I was looking at him just going, wow, Jeff Garcia.
Yeah, I know.
Are you kidding me? Like, that's an actual name they're tossing around in the Houston Texans GM's office right now?
And then they're like, no, they weren't impressed with him. He wasn't even good enough. At least you know that name. I don't like this one bit. It does ruin the game a little bit. What are you going to do?
I didn't think Yates was that bad.
No,
I mean,
he certainly wasn't
good, but it wasn't like – I didn't feel watching him like I felt watching Palco, where it's just like, how is this guy a quarterback?
Yeah.
But, you know – it is weird. Like, you would think, like, the trade deadline would be later. I know some people have written about this. The deadline's week 6, which doesn't make a ton of sense to me. But, like, in baseball, the trade deadline's July 31st, which is two-thirds of the way through the season. And then there's another month where you can kind of make those designated player whatever deals. They can kind of cheat the system. In basketball, during a normal 82-game regular season, the trade deadline is the end of February, which is about – it's 1, 2, 3. It's a little more than two-thirds of the way through the season. I think hockey's the same. If football, if it was two-thirds of the way through the season, then the trade deadline would basically be, you know –
2 weeks ago, right?
Tomorrow. It would be tomorrow.
No. Through the regular season or through the full season?
I'm saying through the regular season.
Well, two-thirds of the regular season is game 11, right?
Yeah, it would have been either last week or this week. And if it was last week, then they probably would have tried to trade for Kyle Orton, or Chicago would have.
Yeah.
And if it was this week, obviously they would be trading for somebody. But, you know, I think it stinks that your season could just end because you had two injuries like that.
Yeah, I think the luckiest guy in the world is Matt Leinart right now.
I'm glad you said that. I was going to say that too. He stunk in that game.
He doesn't have to show how done he was, but
yeah, we were watching that game laughing because at one point he was like 12 for 14 or 13 for 15 or something. But every play they ran for him was some sort of really safe 4-yard pass. Like, they didn't actually ask him to do anything. And if that was going to be your strategy with Leinart, I don't see why you also couldn't do that with T.J. Yates or whoever.
Yeah, so. But I think Houston is one of three or four. They have one of three or four defenses that will allow you to have just an awful quarterback, Denver being another one we just went over,
to
get you to the playoffs, maybe not win a game in the playoffs, but they'll get there. They'll get their 10-11 wins, right?
There could be some historically bad quarterbacks in round one this year.
Yeah.
Because you might have, if Houston can hold on to that AFC South spot, you Pittsburgh going there in round one. And you might have the Bears grabbing one of those two wild cards, too. You might have T.J. Yates and Caleb Haney, and you also might have Carson Palmer.
Yeah. Well, look at it this week. You have at least two matchups of playoff teams last year, Philly at Seattle, and we'll start with that in a second because that's a Thursday night game. So you have Vince Young and Tavares in that game. Those two, both teams were playoff teams last year. And then Monday, San Diego at Jacksonville. That's no, I picked the wrong one though. Well, Rivers is playing poorly, but there was another one with no name quarterbacks. Where is it now?
Was it
two playoff teams?
Two playoff teams?
Yeah, two playoff teams from last year. I blew it. Blew the whole thing. But
all right, whatever. Well, whatever. We were still with you. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, I got you.
let's do the Thursday game.
Let's start
game.
It Thursday night. Philly at Seattle.
I thought Philly played really well in that first quarter, and they were hitting Brady. Vince made a couple long passes, and then the Pats laid the smack down on him. And by the third quarter, Philly had rolled over and died. And I think that's it for them this season.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. But what are they going to – like, what did they do wrong? Like, the Patriots are going to score. Why did they – they were up 10-0. Why did they get so scared when the Patriots score? Like, why not run the ball? McCoy is a monster back there.
Yeah. My dad and I talked about this last night. Happy birthday to my dad, by the way, the big 6'4 for him yesterday.
Oh,
we were
good.
Talking last night. The Pats won a birthday game for him. And both of us were like, man, we were both terrified of LeSean McCoy that whole game.
Yeah.
He got 10 carries. Hey, if you're going to have Vince Young throw it 40 times, I'm delighted. Please, keep doing it.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we want you to do. LeSean McCoy was terrifying. So, I don't know. It's a typical – it just – you know, I don't know if they fire Andy Reid or not, but that team was not well coached this year. You know,
well, I don't think
all
it's
the
fair
signs
in terms
were there.
In terms of who gets fired first this year, I don't think it's fair that Andy Reid plays on a Thursday night and Del Rio and Norv Turner don't play until Monday. it's not really nice.
Is that bet available?
I have to look. I looked this morning and it wasn't there.
I mean,
it's coming down. There's some horses now in that race.
How have we not had a coach fired?
Yeah.
The Chargers, they're quitting on Norv Turner about as violently as you can quit on a coach, it feels like.
These other teams, you could say they've been, you know, they've fallen victim to injury, but the Chargers really haven't. Not too much. I know the little linemen here and there and whatever on defense, but all the cogs are in place.
Also, I think Del Rio, the way he's handled this Blaine Gabbert thing and just the quarterback situation in general for that team is probably fireable. Gabbert is terrible. And maybe he'll be good 3 years from now, but he is awful.
Yeah.
And looks scared. It was so funny. The announcer yesterday was talking about Blaine Gabbert, a guy who doesn't get rattled. And we were all laughing. Next play, somebody rushes him and he just quickly throws it so he doesn't get hit. And
he spiked
the
right
announcer,
off the snap.
Yeah, the announcer was like, Blaine Gabbert, a little hesitant on that throw. I was like, I thought he didn't get rattled.
Yeah.
I'm going to say for Thursday night, Eagles by 3.5 over the Seahawks.
All right. Well, let me just say, you're up 7-5 in this contest already. And,
yeah.
You take the first one. I said 4, and it's 2.5. You were closer there.
Ooh.
I don't know why I said 4. That's dumb. These two, I can't even tell the difference between these two teams anymore. But
that line will be at least – Tavares was really, truly horrible yesterday, and I don't see how that line is in 3 by Thursday.
You just don't ever want to take the road team when the game with Seattle wakes up at home, and you know they do. They've already had one game, I think, like that this year, and there'll be another where they win by 20 against a team they shouldn't have beat.
Hey, I have an issue with the people of Seattle.
On
Friday, I wrote about how the mantle had been, or the torch had been passed from Arrowhead to Seattle, and Seattle is now the toughest place to play. They were down less than a touchdown in that game yesterday, and the stadium was half full. People just fled.
Yeah.
How do you flee when you're down less than a touchdown? What happened to the toughest place to play?
Yeah, I don't know. Whenever I criticize the crowd, the fans, I get emails about how the microphones weren't working for CBS or Fox. But when there's actually empty seats, that shouldn't be able to blame that on the audio.
And the Philly fans sure got the hell out of Dodge pretty fast during that Pats game. I think that title's vacant, and it's up for grabs.
Really?
For the best crowd. Yeah, I don't even – maybe it's the Saints. Maybe the Saints have the best crowd now. I don't know.
You don't think it's the Toronto Bills?
It might be the Toronto Bills.
All right, they're next. Tennessee at Buffalo. This one's actually in Buffalo.
It's in Buffalo. I'm going to hit this exact Buffalo Bills by 3 points.
Yeah, you're going to get it. I said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I said Tennessee by 2. I used to be at least somewhat good at this. You said Buffalo by 3. It's Buffalo by 1.5. So you get that one.
I don't get that.
Yeah.
Hasselbeck looked awful in that game yesterday, and I still don't know how they won. And we were watching, we had that game on a TV, and one of the four TVs the entire time. And at some point, they showed a stat that Chris Johnson had like 160 yards rushing, and we were just flabbergasted.
Every time we would look at it, he would get stacked behind the line of scrimmage. I swear we saw 3 of those, right?
Like, yeah, by 6 yards behind the line. we're making fun of him, and then they're like, oh, yeah, he's on pace for an awesome day.
Like, what's wrong with our brain? We've been screaming at Sanchez and Chris Johnson. Sanchez, 4 touchdowns. Chris Johnson, 190 yards.
I mean, every game is big at this point, but, you know, Tennessee can win that division with this Houston QB thing.
You remember a couple weeks ago we placed a bet, a parlay, that Tennessee would not make the playoffs, right? I mean, we have so many losers to check off, but you probably forgot. We have Tennessee won't make it.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Baltimore will make it. Tennessee won't make it. And the NFC team, we're gonna get, like, the Saints to make it or something.
Well, we have week 17, Tennessee at Houston.
Wow.
And they're 2 games behind right now, Houston.
Right. Week 17, your son, who got you sick, even as a sick boy, he might be starting quarterback for Houston by week 17.
Houston has a 2-game lead. They've already beaten Tennessee once. And at the very least, they'll be tied going into that last game. And it's
that game's in Houston, you said?
Yeah, I think we're okay. I also don't think Tennessee's very good.
Well, we should look at their other games. It's getting a little scary.
Hold on. Hey, dog, let's go through the rest of the Houston schedule.
Go ahead, let's do this. Tennessee Titans.
This is the Houston Texans.
Oh, okay.
Week 13, 1 o'clock, Fox, Atlanta.
That
home
game scares me that it's on Fox. I don't like that it's on Fox. I'm giving them a loss.
You a loss at home against Atlanta?
Yes, Atlanta goes in and wins.
Wow, dog, wow. Wow.
That's what I think. So, go ahead. What's next?
Next week at Cincinnati, 1 o'clock, CBS.
At Cincinnati, I am giving them another loss.
Oh,
Mike, we're going to lose our bet here. I don't like this.
Dog, now you're saying the 8-5. Now you're saying the 8-5.
Well, whatever the numbers shake out to be, Mike, that's how I feel. Go on. Good job by you keeping track.
Week 15, home, Carolina.
Home against Carolina. I have to think whatever quarterback is in there is going to exploit that terrible, terrible, terrible Panthers defense. That is a win. That's win 9 for Texans.
4 days later, Thursday night. NFL Network at Indianapolis.
At Indianapolis, that has got to be, Mike, that has got to be a win. You have to get that done. If you're Tyler Yates or Garcia or whoever, if that's Jeff George in there, you got to get that win, Mike.
That's it. So that they win 2 games, the Tennessee basically has to sweep the next 4.
What happened to your voice, Mike? Oh, okay. We're back.
Yeah, I think we're okay.
Yeah, we'll be okay. But they can't grab a wild card, can they? That's another thing to consider, because now they're only...
Nah, stop it. Stop with your wild card.
Well, look, it's going to be the AFC North team, and then it's going to be either Jets or Cincinnati, right? Did we just say they went to Cincinnati? Tennessee at Cincinnati could be our big game.
Hold on. Now I got to do the dog voice again for Tennessee. Week 13 at Buffalo.
Go ahead. At Buffalo, oh, man, that's a win for Tennessee.
Wow!
That's a win.
I mean, wow. Week 14, 1 o'clock, Fox, at New Orleans.
At New Orleans, I see them getting caught up in that Mardi Gras crowd, vomiting in the streets, Mike, and that's a loss right there.
Next week, at Indianapolis.
Well, that's a win for everybody.
Next week, Saturday game, Christmas Eve, dog. Christmas Eve game, home, Jacksonville.
Oh, for crying out loud, Mike! Would that be win 10 for them?
They'd be 9-6, dog.
All right, they win that game. Oh, that's sick. There's still one left, then, Mike. That's a win. That's
at
a win.
Houston. So yeah. Yeah, they could get to 10 wins, Sal. This is bad.
More right. Hedging for us. Awesome.
Nice. All right, let's keep going.
All right, well, that's Jets at Washington.
Oh. Jets by 3.
Let's not bet this game, whatever we do.
Yeah, okay, stay.
Yeah, you got it. You got it exactly. I said 2.
Rex has now looked good in two straight games, and the John Beck decision is starting to look like the dumbest decision of 2011, which is saying something.
I know. And Shanahan, he's the luckiest one of all, right?
Yeah.
He really is. He's lucky there's a half dozen coaches more inept than he is because, yeah, you're right, that quarterback change was the worst decision.
I would argue Dallas is the luckiest right now because somehow you're 7-4, and the Giants are playing in New Orleans this week, and I think the Giants have Green Bay the following week. Like, all of a sudden, the division's on a platter, this division that everybody was saying was going to be the toughest division, and you're going to be able to win it with, you know, not even having a good season for about 7 weeks.
Let me, you shut your mouth right now about that, but let me just say this, and I know I'm never this confident. Cowboys beat the Cards this week. Giants lose tonight. Giants lose versus Green Bay in 2 weeks. Cowboys play the Giants in Jerry's World to clinch the division, and I will be there, Billy.
That's
pretty
good.
I'll be there to see it, week 13.
The only problem is, well, we'll get to that Cardinals game, but you know you have a bad history with that Cardinals team.
I know.
That is a team that, for whatever reason, always plays the Cowboys tough.
And it shouldn't be either. We have 75% of the fans there.
Something's weird about that Cowboys-Cardinals matchup. Anyway, let's keep going.
All right, keep it going. Carolina at Tampa Bay. All right, I hit this one exactly, so I'm at least going to tie with you here.
Wait, what was the Jets-Redskins line?
Jets were given 3. You got it exactly.
Okay. So Carolina at who?
Tampa Bay. Your old flame, Josh Freeman.
It's either 3.5 or 4, and I think the Panthers' defense is so bad that it's got to be Bucks by 4.
Good. Glad you said 4, because it's 3.5.
Ah!
I'm on the board. It's 3-1 you.
Okay.
Cincy at Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
Both played poorly yesterday, but like I said earlier, maybe looking ahead to this game.
Yeah, double trap game.
Yeah.
Cincy's still lingering. What are they, 7-4?
What do you think of, like, that last pass was nice, Dalton setting up that field goal, but...
Yeah, he didn't play well.
He's sort of becoming the king of that, underthrowing the receiver and the guy coming back to it. And it's working.
Yeah.
I don't know if how that works against a team like the Steelers. But
it's funny because I'll vacillate on that depending on who the QB is. Like when it's Sanchez, I'm always like, that lucky bastard. But if Brady or Rodgers do it, you're like, oh, brilliant. Great pass. Yeah, so you have Cincy right now. If the playoffs ended or if the playoffs started today, they would be a wild card.
They're the 6, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they'd be 5. Yeah, they'd be the last wild card. They have Tennessee, Denver, and the Jets all 6-5 right behind them. Everybody else is basically out of the loop. I'm going to say Steelers by 7.5 over Cincinnati.
All right, we're going to split this. I said 6.5. It's 7 right now.
I think that ends up at 7.5.
That's a stay away, too.
That's
the
a
old
stay
me
away.
Would have just taken the Steelers on a two-team teaser, but...
You know what? The new you is going to do it, too.
What?
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to tease the Steelers. I think they were playing possum this week.
Oh, boy. All right, Oakland at Miami.
I had a lot of trouble with this Dolphins line. It's either 3 or 2.5, and I'm going to say Dolphins by 2.5.
Oh, that's what I did, too, and it's 3.
Mm.
Bolts at 2.5.
Mm.
That's a good game all of a sudden. I don't know how, but...
Dolphins, you saw it last week, or last Thursday. The Dolphins are a good football team.
They have a solid front seven. Their cornerbacks play tough defense. You know, they play, they're all right. The quarterback doesn't really screw up anymore. It takes some of these quarterbacks, these bad quarterbacks, it takes them a month to get used to the system.
Yep.
But, not Tyler Palko, though, at Chicago.
Oh, God. Yeah, but this is your Haney. This is the matchup you're talking about, the two playoff teams.
This is it.
Palko and
this
Haney.
Is the one, right. This is the other one, exactly.
I didn't think Haney was terrible. I actually thought the Raiders played well, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but Carson Palmer had a really good game.
Yeah. Is he starting this week, Haney, or is it it's McCown now, right? Or
no, that's your thing of Jags. Caleb Haney is starting for the Bears. Oh, you're saying Kyle Orton? No, Kyle Orton's in the Chiefs.
No, yeah, but who they signed? They signed someone who wasn't going to be ready for this week. I guess it'll be.
I don't know. I have the Bears by 7.5, special teams and D.
All right, you're going to get me there. I had 7, and it's 8.
Yeah, that's
and you're right. This seems like a game their defense could win.
Yeah. Let's keep going.
Yeah, that was it. Vince Young, Tavares, Palko, and Haney are the four quarterback playoff teams. Baltimore or Cleveland?
The Browns aren't bad. They're playing almost, like half decent football.
Almost went to 5-6 yesterday, which was stunning.
I have the Ravens by 6.
All right, you're going to get it. I went too low. I went 5.5, and it's 7. But Ravens Steelers, two team teasers, a loser. I'm telling you now.
I'm going to say this. I think that's the Browns Super Bowl right there.
Wow.
Unless they play home against. Do they play home against Pittsburgh? Let me check. Hold on. Because. Oh, yeah, they're home week 17 against Pittsburgh. So maybe that'll be their Super Bowl.
If this is their Super Bowl, can we bet the coin toss? Because they've lost 11 in a row now.
You love that stat. All right, let's keep going.
Atlanta at Houston.
I don't see how the Texans can be even favored by 3 here. I have Texans by 2.5.
All right. I had – I have to figure this out now. Oh, you get it. I said Atlanta by 1, and it's Houston by 1. So you're going to get it.
I win that one. Thank you.
And it's Brody Croyle. Some of these guys can't even help themselves with their name. Their names make it, you know, they're just going to be a bad quarterback just by their name. Like Brody Croyle, Tyler Palco, Caleb Haney.
Atlanta seems to be getting a lot of breaks here.
Yeah.
Like they could have played Houston 6 weeks ago and they would have been 6-point underdogs.
I know.
And now they get Houston this week. They get Carolina. They have they're home for Jacksonville on a Thursday night, which is great for them. You want to play a team with a bad quarterback at Thursday night. Then they have at New Orleans the day after Christmas, Monday night, and then home for Tampa. Like they really
at New
could
Orleans
go.
Is for the division, but they'll probably be like a 5-7.
All of a sudden, they could go 11-5 here.
Yeah.
And I don't even think Atlanta Falcon fans are happy with the season they've had.
No, they never look good, you know?
No, they never look good.
Indy at New England. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Never looking good.
I had a lot of fun trying to figure this one out. And what is this, the fifth year we've been guessing? This might be the highest line we've ever had. I have the Pats. Pats by 22.5.
You get it by a half a point. I can't believe I undershot it. I said 19. It's 21 now.
Wow.
21 points.
That's the record, right?
Well, yeah, that's the record. I remember there was a Sunday night game when I was probably 20 years old, about 20 years ago. San Francisco was giving Cincy 19 on a Sunday night. Do you remember that?
Well, we had – since we've been doing this, we had a New Orleans game that got, I thought, into like the 19-20 range.
Yeah.
21.
Now,
oh
let me ask
God.
You this. Does Belichick show mercy? Does he look at this as the same Colts team that, you know?
Hell no.
He doesn't, huh? Does he score 11 touchdowns?
I think the bundle of FUTDs gets brought out for this one.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to be sad when Julian Edelman sets the single game sack record this Sunday, right?
I gotta be honest. I think that line's too low. I think it should be I'm laying 21 with the Pats. If you made it 21.5, then I'd hesitate. I think that gets to 21.5.
Worst case scenario, they score 35, right? 33, 35.
The Colts are awful. They're a horrendous football team.
I don't know who's taking them with 21, but with that, I'll tell you what, minus 11 looks really good on a three-teamer. That's it for the early games. Denver at Minnesota. Here we go.
Denver at Minnesota.
Doesn't turn the ball over.
God. I have the Broncos by 3. I got to do it.
Oh, wow. Oh, you're gonna love this one then. I had Minnesota by 2.5, and it's 1.5. Minnesota's the favorite. 2-9, Minnesota, favorite over 6-5.
That is really stupid. And you know what? Vegas will regret crossing Tebow like that. That's all I have to say, Sal.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I think that – I'm going to make another prediction. I think that line moves to Broncos by 2 or Broncos by 2.5 by Sunday. I think that line moves 4 points.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm into this game now. I like that Christian Ponder. I like watching him.
We've established the Broncos have a really good defense. And I just don't think the Vikings, if there's no Peterson, which I don't think there will be, I don't think they're going to be able to score.
All right.
They're not getting another Percy Harvin game like the one they just got.
you know, going from the mountain time zone to the central time zone for a late game never, ever works out for any team. And that in mind, Dallas at Arizona.
Oh, man. You hate this game. You hate it. It was either going to be 3.5 or 4, and I like the way the Cardinals are playing lately, so I said Dallas by 3.5.
All right. Well, you're off there. I said 6.5. It's 5.5.
Oh.
I get that one. Can I actually win this week? Five.
Stop it.
You're up 4 on me. I need the last 4 to tie you.
I gotta say that line's too high.
Why is it too high?
Because the Cardinals aren't playing bad.
Oh, come on.
They're not a bad team.
You make that 4 points. No one's betting the Cardinals. Ten days to prepare.
Let me bring you back to 1998, Sal.
You can bring me back to last year when who beat us? What crappy Arizona quarterback? Bueller missed a field goal or an extra point?
Here are the Cards since their bye week in week 6. They played Pittsburgh tough, lost by 12. They played Baltimore really tough, blew the game in Baltimore, lost by 3. They beat St. Louis by 6 in OT. They beat Philly by 4. They lost to San Fran. They got killed, and then they beat St. Louis. They're not terrible.
They're not terrible. Maybe Skelton figured out his system. And Beanie Wells is going crazy running the ball. I'm a little nervous.
Be afraid of that game. Be a little afraid of that one. Yeah.
I think we learned from that Fox scroll that Beanie Wells goes by C. Wells. That's one thing.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
The nicest thing
yeah.
I'll say about Arizona.
Can't be forgotten.
Parents didn't name him Beanie. It's kind of disappointing. All right. St. Louis at San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. I have the 49ers by 13.
All right. We split that one, so there go my chances of beating him. And let me just say this. If our Rams to win the West bet is going to have any sort of chance, we must win this week at San Francisco.
And the season must be 10 games longer.
They're going to have to add up 14.
Wait, what's the line?
I'm sorry, 13.5.
Okay.
13.5, so... I mean, if you took the – well, we'll figure it out. Look right now I'm thinking LSU to win, to beat Georgia. They're not blowing that game. New England minus 11. New England minus 11 over Indy. They'll have that 10 minutes in the first quarter. And
Casey.
San Fran, I don't even care if they're giving 3.5, whatever this goes to.
I think Belichick, just to get the Pats-Colts rivalry going again, Brady comes out, he hands off for the first play, and then he just comes out. And Belichick says, we're going to beat you with Brian Hoyer, and we're going to cover the 21-point spread.
It's a criminal game. They shouldn't even play it. Criminal. Green Bay at the Giants.
Oof.
This is the last shot, right?
Yeah, I have full-fledged Vegas zone here. I'm going to say Packers by 5.
I said 5 also, and it's 6.5.
Ooh.
I guess they just have to ward off these... Ward off these Packers bettors. Figure something out. I tell you what, I would like the Giants more in this game if they lost tonight. You get that weird feeling?
Yeah, I think they will lose tonight.
Yeah.
And I wrote this on Friday. It just seems like the cycle with the Coughlin-era Giants where they almost have to hit rock bottom and make everybody think it's over. And what are they going to do? Should they fire them? And then all of a sudden they go on a winning streak.
When you beat... When the Giants beat the Patriots in the regular season finale to stop their undefeated season, I think they lost or played crappy the week before, the Giants. I might be wrong. But this is it, right? Because after this, Packers home against Oakland, at Kansas City, home against Chicago, home against Detroit. Two of those teams only have quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's it. Detroit at New Orleans, this is the flex game. They're playing
nice.
On Sunday night.
I have Saints by 8.
Oh, you went a little high. I said 6. It's 6.5. Man, I won 5. I tied 6.
What am I missing with this Lions team?
Well, they're going to be missing Dominick Sue. I like the idea of
Kevin Smith.
Didn't he go during his bye week to speak to Roger Goodell, try to better understand the rules? Like, I like him saying to Goodell now, wait a minute, I specifically remember you saying I could stomp on a player's midsection if I didn't like him. I swear, you were right here. We were looking at each other and you said...
We talked about this.
You're going back on your word now. That team's a mess.
What a dope.
I don't think they get the 10 wins.
No, they're a mess. I really think I wrote this on Friday. I really think that coach screwed them up a little bit. Like from day one, he was always like really trying to make them tougher and doing, you know, yelling at the refs and doing the whole thing. And it just seems like they kind of lost their minds. The suit
well,
thing was insane.
Well, if you shake his hand aggressively after a game, he's going to throw a fit. But if one of his players stomps a guy in the throat or whatever, attempts to, that's okay.
I really think that they could have won that Thanksgiving game if a couple things had gone differently. The Kevin Smith injury, he looked like he was going to run for 150 yards, and then he goes out. And then the Sioux thing, it would have been 10-0. They would have been still in that game, I feel like. And they just like, killed them.
One, though. I think they get slapped around. By
totally undisciplined.
They have 7 wins, and three of their games are at New Orleans, at Oakland, and at Green Bay. I don't think they got to 10.
I think they've been behind. I need to look this up, but I think they've been behind by 17 points or more in like 7 of their games this year.
Yep. I remember.
That's not good.
And then speaking of not good, Monday, San Diego at Jacksonville.
Oh, God.
Norv Turner, Jack Del Rio. Shouldn't they just think of like whoever's losing at halftime, the coach turns in his playbook, never to be seen again? And if it's
I can't believe I'm doing this. It would be great. It should be like in wrestling. It would be the loser gets fired match.
Yeah, loser leaves town. That's it.
Yeah. man, I just – it's got to be 3. Chargers by 3.
It is 3. I said Chargers by 1, so you're going to get it. Beat me again. God.
Just very quickly.
Yeah. 12-7 you won. Yeah.
I was feeling good. I'm in a decent groove right now. I actually, in my picks – I really could have gone like 13-3 this week. I had a couple of bad luck picks, but San Diego, 4-7, 3 games back, seemingly out of this whole race.
Yeah.
Right?
You could get rid of seemingly, yeah.
Jacksonville this week, that's a win. Buffalo at home.
It is?
I'm just saying.
All
if
right.
They win that, Buffalo at home next week, winnable.
Yeah.
Baltimore at home, little trouble there. At Detroit, little trouble there, obviously. But then they have Oakland in the last week.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So let's say they get
three back.
If they went
3-1. The announcers were saying a tie was a loss for them yesterday. So I was thinking, I bet a tie isn't as bad as everyone's thinking, making out to be.
Well, they could run the slate. They could easily run the slate. I'm not saying they will. I think they're done, and I think they've quit on the coach. But just...
What
for
you,
the record.
They easily run the slate. I think they're done. What are you saying here? What do you mean?
The Raiders have at Miami, at Green Bay next 2 weeks. I think they lose both, and I think they're 7-6 after those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then home for Detroit at KC. Let's say they split those. They're 8-7 going into that San Diego game. So if San Diego's either 7-8 or 8-7 going into that last game.
Wow.
And I don't know how the tiebreaker stuff works, but it actually might be worth something.
I hate to even, because when we hung up, I was going to try to convince you, let's bet the Raiders to win the division so we can back out of this terrible Chargers bet, but
yeah.
It doesn't look like you're. Now, does this open things up? I don't even want to look at it, but for the Broncos?
Denver goes at Minnesota, home for Chicago, home for New England, at Buffalo, home for KC last week. So figure
home
they'll either
New
go.
England's the only one they're going to get clobbered in, right?
That should, I can't imagine that Chicago. Well, I guess their defense. Yeah, they could potentially go 4-1 there. So they're 6-5. Even if they went 3-2, they're in pretty good shape. Those next
so
two Oakland
be a
games.
9-7 bog jam at the top there, and I don't
totally.
Know yeah.
Totally. So if the Chargers won that Jags game, at least they would be kind of lingering a tiny bit. But I still think it's a Denver Oakland battle.
I'm done watching football. I can't believe that.
Cause it's out. Plug something.
Jimmy Kimmel Live. Regis Philbin on tonight. He's going to be announcing his quarterback for the Texans, Week 16. And Tuesday, Shaq. Later in the week, Terry Bradshaw. And my Grantland blog is this Thursday. Special prop tonight: Darren Sproles rushing and receiving over 75.5 yards. That's a steal. Take it.
Ooh, especially after he had a bad week last week.
Take it. It's going to be a lot of points, a lot of yards.
The Cousin, as always, a pleasure.
Good job by you, Billy.
Good job.
Target to sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.